On our program today, we're going to talk about Boone County Search and Rescue. We are joined by, well, we got a whole bunch here. We have Chris Hayes, Boone County Emergency Management. Thanks for coming in. Sheriff Andy Godzicki.
Good morning.
And Seth McCray.
Good morning.
Detective Seth McCray. But now, what, for Search and Rescue, you're the team leader, or what do you call it?
That's correct.
Okay. So he's doing that. See, I made him talk. All right. Now, let's, again, the last time we visited, oh gosh, I think when I had at least both the sheriff and Chris together, you were just really getting started and you were going to go do, well, I think the last time he came in, Andy came in by himself and talked about it, but Chris was going through training at that time to learn how to do searches and things like that. So
that's right. I think
we were at the ground search training.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So
it's been a while.
But when we first visited, and it was a little while ago, but at that time the idea was we had a lot of equipment. We had kind of lost basically our search and rescue team, kind of aged out, and we didn't really get it rejuvenated. That was the goal. Let's get it rejuvenated. Let's get things up to speed. And you've been doing pretty well.
Right. I mean, first of all, we had to kind of inventory what we had, and we discovered that there was a lot of equipment that had aged out or was just no longer relevant. We had a lot of junk laying around. So we spent a day just kind of purging the whole building and making room and just really understanding what we had and what we needed. But since then, we have been able to purchase new rope rescue equipment, chainsaws, trailers. Well, we were able to purchase some used vehicles and then kind of upfit them to meet our needs. Chris, is there anything else you can think of that?
Yeah. So we had to get rid of a lot of outdated equipment. It was probably 20, 30 years old. And through a lot of grants and donations, we've been able to upfit some new to us trucks. Mm-hmm. We were able to purchase new boats and completely outfit those. We have two completely outfitted boats. We have sonar capability on those boats now. We have begun building a new rope rescue team. We've been able to purchase the rope rescue equipment needed for that because there's only one fire department in the county that does rope rescue, so mm-hmm. we really wanted to take on that technical rescue aspect that some of the other fire departments either don't have time for because they're focused on firefighting or just don't have the manpower for.
Yeah, volunteer fire departments, it's hard to be able to get that kind of training. So,
and we have taken on ice rescue. We managed to get two new ice rescue suits courtesy of Walter Sanitation donating one of the ice rescue suits, and then Ogden Telephone donated the other one, so we were very lucky there to have those brand new suits. We purchased multiple chainsaws with the idea that should there be another, God forbid there be another derecho, our team could stand ready to help with, you know, debris clearance.
Or even fire in the valley.
Yeah.
As dry as it is.
Right.
Those are things that someone's got to respond. And
right. When the call comes out, we have to have an answer. And, we kind of have to use our imagination for the things that, we should be ready for. But the public's not going to take no for an answer. So, they look to us to have the answers and to have the training and expertise and equipment in place ahead of time. We're paid to have that forethought. I'm glad that we're able to finally fulfill that role and just make sure that, like Chris said, God forbid, if anything happens, we're ready for it.
Well, I know over the winter time, you guys have done a lot of different training. A lot of different training. I see the pictures all the time.
Yes.
But you also are out there responding to calls. You just were out on the river after the snowmobile accident last weekend.
Yep, we mutual aided Boone Fire because they needed some manpower to help get a snowmobiler off the ice and up to the road. So we had some of that equipment that allowed us to help.
Fortunately, let's not have to do any search rescues or recoveries out of the ice if you have to. But you are prepared now because I know you were out there at Don Williams.
Yep, we just recently were out there at Don Williams training for our ice rescue should we need it and recovery. Knock on wood. Hopefully we don't need it. But
Well, and unfortunately, it's just reality. If you have bodies of water and people that enjoy recreating on them, circumstances can come together and accidents can happen. We see it happen all the time. That's why we do this training. That's why we have the equipment. It's just reality that accidents are going to happen. But we need to be able to respond to those and do it safely. You know, yeah. Make sure that we don't become victims ourselves.
Oh,
because
yeah.
ICE does not care.
No. I was going to say, when you started, again, you were going through the boats, making sure what worked or not. And then we had an issue, I think, out at Don Williams where they needed a rescue boat. But where do we get them and how do you do it? Do you have one that's going to be stationed out there or do you move them? Because I know you went to smaller vehicles so you could get around a lot easier.
Right. Don Williams, actually, the County Conservation, they have a boat staged out there now. So they reacted to that situation and put something out there. In addition, that particular incident kind of caught us at a time where our boats were being worked on. So we, you know, plus we lacked the training to have that safe operation and that water rescue. Yes, to answer your question, they do have a vessel out there. In addition, you know, when we're responding, we just hook a boat up onto one of our trucks and head up.
Try to make it as convenient as possible. So, again, you've gotten a lot of support to, again, equipment replacement, things like that. You've spent pretty good dollars getting things back up to speed.
Go ahead, Chris.
Through donations and grants, we've gotten about $75,000 this last year to help rebuild what was lost or what was missing.
Mm-hmm. Or just aged out.
Just aged out. And then on top of that, you know, we've gotten a lot of volunteers joining us over the last year. We've got quite a few decent guys now on the team. We're up to about 20 people.
All right. So, is that a good working number, Seth?
I would say that's a good number. It's a happy medium. Everybody gets to kind of tailor what they do to a specific topic. Chris has also really enabled us with funding-wise for community members to take part with getting our organization supported by a 501c3 so that individuals can make charitable donation to that, and it does open up grant opportunities as well to make that possible.
Gives you that that flexibility and stuff, because I know one of the big issues was, who is handling search and rescue? How are we going to do this? How do we keep the books on it? And so it's not easy. I mean, most people just assume it'll be there and they'll be there to help.
Well, and that's they should just assume it's going to be there to help. It's our job to handle all the dirty work and the issues and problems that crop up in the background and provide that service. But there's been a lot of change that's gone on in the last 2 years. Sure. A lot of hard work's gone into it. These two have put a lot of sweat equity into search and rescue, into revitalizing it and making it the organization that it is today. I'm very proud of them, and I'm very proud of the members from the community that have stepped up. That's what you know. It's, I think that's saying a lot when we have 20 members in the last
year, about a year.
Basically, yeah, last year.
That's really saying a lot. And these are strong members. So yeah, we're really appreciative.
The other part is, members do occasionally have to move away or change and stuff like that. Do you still seek people that are interested in maybe going through the training and seeing if they want to be a part of search and rescue?
Absolutely. And with, like I said previously, there are individuals that, you know, drift towards one specialty and they like, so we need all of them fulfilled. So we never really turn away anybody who's interested in at least reaching out and seeing what they can do to be a part of the team.
So, sir, I mean, on the searching part, Sheriff's Department's got its own drone, so that takes care of, I'm guessing, you help with that.
Drones and canines. We can't discount our canine partners.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to ask Chris, because you went through some training about how to do searches and things like that, so First of all, what was that like? And then how are you incorporating it with what the search and rescue is doing?
So last fall we took on, we went to some ground search training, also to learn some new software, how to incorporate that into our ground searches to make them more effective. It allowed us, it allows us to track individual members so we can see where we've searched. And it was an intense class. We learned a lot, and we've been working on trying to incorporate that into future, if we need future training and future searches.
That's a really important aspect when you're conducting ground searches is keeping it organized, knowing who's there, and most importantly, knowing where they've been so that we can be efficient in our searches, because sometimes time is of the essence. And if you're searching ground that's already been covered, then you're just wasting your time. So this software really helps organize that whole aspect.
And you do have some fairly remote area.
Yes, we do. And this software is actually designed where it can run offline, because Boone County does have some challenges. People do often wander and get lost, or situations happen in areas where there may not be real good data coverage or cell phone coverage, and this software really shines for that.
All right. Let's talk a little bit. I know you've got a special search you want people to know about, because you'd like to potentially have the public come out and provide some assistance with this.
So, yeah.
Who wants to do?
Go ahead.
So, on March 22nd, we're going to return to Ledges to continue to look for Jesse.
Jesse Leopold?
Yep, Jesse Leopold. It's going to be from 9 to 1. We've spent quite a bit of time in Ledges, searching for him, trying to find him. This fall, our individual members went into some of the more treacherous areas that we really don't want the public to be a part of, just for safety reasons. And we've identified an area this spring that we think, if we can get enough community volunteers to help, we'll be able to search that area rather effectively and rather quickly. So hopefully to find Jesse and bring him home.
Still an open case for your department?
Well, yeah, and I know on that part that's maybe a little bit of a controversial subject, because people don't quite understand all the facts and circumstances surrounding the case. But so far, the best indicator is that continues to show that his remains would be in the Ledges Park area.
So, and that, again, pretty remote in some spots down there.
Absolutely. Most people have no appreciation for the topography of Ledges, and you can't until you actually get out of your vehicle and go walk it.
Yeah. And just how big it is.
How big it is. There's a lot of acres there. So, again, there were remote areas, so you have had your actual teams going out, and you lay this out and say, here's where we're going, and this is, see what you can find.
Yep. This fall, like I said, we identified a couple of key areas that we thought might be likely areas to find some stuff. And kind of based on that search, that's how we chose the spring search. Okay. So
on the 22nd, for those that might be interested in participating, or if they want to find out more, how do we go about that? What's going to be the easiest way to contact just search and rescue, get a hold of you, get a hold of Seth?
We will be putting out a press release, but okay. The easiest way will probably be get a hold of the sheriff's office, just all because right. Search and rescue is, there's only one man in that building most of the time, and that's me, and I'm not always there. Also, our social media is between the search and rescue, the sheriff's office, and emergency management. We'll be putting some stuff out there shortly.
So looking for a press release so people can find out how they can participate.
Yes.
So what... How big of a crowd? I mean, that's going to be one of the things. It'll depend on the weather and everything, but...
We're always relying on Mother Nature and hoping that we have the best weather. And in the area we're going to be in, it's going to be mostly flat land, which is our hope. We've kind of taken care of the other areas. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a desired outcome. Last time, the response to it was overwhelming and not in a bad way. So we are going to be kind of posting, which people will be able to dictate if it fits them and if they feel as though they're going to be able to be an asset to that search on our social media. So I would highly recommend people just review that and see that
along,
to see if they feel as though they're going to be able to help with it.
Sure.
Yeah, at our last community search, we had about 110 volunteers, quite a big turnout.
Which is amazing.
No, and really, and now we're talking about a flat, or more of a flat terrain, but still, pretty pretty dense underbrush, I'm guessing, and things like that. So.
Every part of ledges is challenging.
Yeah, it's got its own challenges all through there. And we know that during the year, you're going to get called. People will wander away down at the park or, we've had some people, again, where they've wandered out into the cornfields and just can't find a way out.
Yeah, I mean, Boone County as a whole continues to, I mean, there's a lot of public area, public hunting area, a lot of corridor along the river there, sure. And other places where people go out. So, yeah, we can get called for anything from, a toddler, wandering out into the cornfield. We also help our neighbors, too.
Sure.
We're available for mutual aid for any of our surrounding counties. When it comes to trying to, find an innocent person that's kind of wandered off, sometimes people that have dementia or Alzheimer's can wander off into corn or out in the mm-hmm. woods. It's pretty important that, we're able to get out and help those communities and provide that assistance, because when a life is on the line, all bets are off.
And we have been through that before, again, with the search early on.
We've been through it many times, it's going to happen. It's just a part of life. That's something that we know is going to happen, so we need to be prepared for it.
Well, just last spring, we went to assist with finding a missing person.
Yeah.
It ended up down in a ravine, and some people just don't realize how...
Well, that's right.
How much elevation Boone County has.
Then you got to get them out of there.
And then if they're injured, getting them out can be technically challenging.
Yeah, that was that wasn't that far off the roads or anything else, but still a challenge to be able to locate them and get them out.
And that's where some of the rope rescue that we've kind of been participating in lately, that's where that can really come in hand with our mission.
Yep.
Okay. So training-wise, do you just pick times during the year? How do you handle doing the training? And do you look for an opportune weekend? Or
we actually have them pre-scheduled. So our members train voluntarily once a week and then monthly as well.
Okay.
So they're seeing about 4 to 5 training days a month. And we use the weather and available spaces to dictate what that training will be. We obviously have targeted outcomes that we need to hit, but it can usually vary. We prepare 1 or 2 so that if the weather changes on us, we do have options as well.
So like on the ropes training you just did recently, you had certain people that were involved with doing that, and then do others come in later and do it if they have an interest, or do you get them all at once? Or
yes, so we try to make those renditions repetitive to where someone can enter the program at any point and still have the same outcome and certification process. So we try to be redundant multiple times a year in those trainings. So not only are we rehearsing them and really drilling them for our members that have done it, but also our newer members working them up the ladder.
I remember, because I saw you did most of your some of the rope stuff with grain bins, and
you could see some of the heights involved there. So obviously safety is a huge factor. We want to make sure that our members are operating safely. We want to make sure that our equipment is operating properly. So those really give good opportunities for us to explore that.
And I know we get the grain bin accidents and. They happen. A lot of the fire departments do have equipment for it, but they don't necessarily always have enough manpower for it. So that's where search and rescue comes
in.
That's
where we come in to be able to provide that support.
All right. Let's again hit them on the reminder that we do have this search that's coming up. You'd like to invite public participation, but more information will be coming out before we get there. It's going to be on March 22nd.
Yep, that's correct. March 22nd, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We look forward to having the community out there. Hopefully we get some good results.
And be successful, solve the crime.
Well, we would like to understand what happened and kind of bring some closure to the Leopold family.
And for people that say, we walked by there many times, just remember the truck driver up in Sac County.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't say that just because you've walked by there that you've searched it. We just saw an example of this where the person was deceased and in front of everybody and nobody saw it.
Yeah. And that was a trained search and rescue team that missed that body.
So. Missed that. So it's, I mean, it, it sometimes that's the way
we're just not going to take anything for granted.
That's right. Once again, we've been talking about Boone County Search and Rescue and opportunities that are available, actually, if they are interested in being a part of the team. Supporting the team, let's hit on that once again, too. You have a 501c3, and what's if people are interested, Seth, what make contact same way through emergency management? Or?
So on our social media pages, it does link, you know, Chris has done an excellent job getting the 501c3 set up and then also making it available for people through Venmo and PayPal and other apps that they can use if they wish to donate.
All right. Help support Boone County Search and Rescue. And if they want to find out about being a part of it, make contact as well.
Absolutely.
You, if you find out, you got to walk up and down a lot of steep hills at the ledges. I am not one to be doing that, you know, but I can cheer on.
There are a number of roles to play within Search and Rescue. And as they pointed out, everybody brings different strengths and weaknesses.
All right. Hey, appreciate you taking time to come in, and we look forward to the press release, get the information out about the upcoming search. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk.